Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on illegal immigration when we come back. You know, when I'm asked who I would recommend for a lawyer, I always recommend Jerry Spence of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, if you can't afford Jerry, my second choice is you. And that's right, you are the best guy, the best person to represent your own interests in court. After all, you were there. And you either did it or you didn't do it. And you knew who else was there. You know what was said. And you know who said it. You know who was lying. And you know who was telling the truth. You know, but your lawyer does not know, and he doesn't know any more than you tell him. And besides that, nobody likes a lawyer anyway. The abhorrence of the legal profession is documented throughout Anglo-Saxon history. In Shakespeare's Dick the Butcher and King Henry VI exclaimed, "The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers." And Dickens wrote, "If there were no bad people, there would be no good lawyers." Poor Richard, in his almanac, said, "God works wonders now and then. Behold, a lawyer, an honest man." So scorned were lawyers by the colonists that they were depicted as lawyer birds with their long bills and lawyer fish, always slippery. Both Massachusetts and Rhode Island prohibited lawyers from serving in their colonial assemblies. Brigham Young, upon establishing his utopia for the Mormons in the Utah desert, characterized lawyers as a stink in the nostrils of every Latter-day Saint and described the courtroom as a cage of unclean birds, a den and kitchen of the devil. Now, early in the 19th century, the Baptist preacher John Leyland attacked a host of lawyers who infest our land like the swarms of locusts in Egypt that eat up every green thing. Well, representing yourself in court or at trial is protected by the Sixth Amendment and three rules. And those rules are: don't say anything, keep quiet, and then shut up. If you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's informative. Now, if you want to download that off of our internet site, go to georgegordon.org, go to the archives page, and download it right there. Hey, we're talking about illegal immigration and the costs of this illegal immigration and what it's doing to our country. It's all bad news, but it's all news that's past tense. It's not like riding on the Titanic and somebody comes up to you the day before you hit the iceberg and says, "I had a vision last night and we're going to hit an iceberg tomorrow night." That would give you some time to run up and tell the captain and alert people to the potential problem. In the case of the great ship America, we've already hit the ice. The debt burden is already there. The hole down the side of the ship, that $100 trillion worth of debt, it's already there. You're not going to change that. So the illegal immigration, which is a drain and a burden on the operation of the ship in its emergency mode. That is, we're sinking, the pumps are pumping as fast as they can pump. Our government officials are just struggling mightily to keep the economy from imploding. It's a losing battle in the final analysis because we Americans each owe $333,000 in debt per capita. And if the interest rate on that $333,000 was 5%, which in most cases it's 10 or 20%, but you know, if it was just 5% of the $333,000, and then we compound that annually, we can't service that debt. That's the dilemma. We cannot service our debt. So we're bankrupt. We're the richest nation in the world, we're told, and we're bankrupt. Well, how can you be the richest nation in the world if you're bankrupt? I mean, you know, that's like Enron saying we're the biggest energy company in the world and we're bankrupt. Come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. We're all flat-ass broke, and we're all about to go join the bag lady under the bridge. Meanwhile, back on the farm, though, we ought to have a report as to why this happened. What happened? What's causing this? And then the public officials like Governor Schwarzenegger and our president, Barack Obama, and the leadership in the Senate and the House of Representatives that are bringing these abortions upon us. Listen, these people just signed into law a multi-trillion dollar health care bill. We're already bankrupt. It's almost like, look, we got a hole down 300 feet of the side of the ship over here, and somebody goes over here and blows a hole in the other side so that we sink evenly. All right, it was bad enough when we started. It's worse now. Now, yesterday I reported that 60% of the country's uninsured patients are not U.S. citizens. More than half are here illegally. Well, isn't this what the complaint is? That President Obama came to us and he said, hey, listen, we got all these uninsured people out here, and we need to do something about that. Well, hell, 60% of them are here illegally. 60% of them are criminals. And the president says, you know, if you get rid of that 60% of the crime, then there's only 40% of us that are uninsured. I'm one of them. I'm not insured because I don't want to be. Boys and girls, if I wanted insurance, I'd go out and buy it. I don't want it. I don't need it. It's of no value to me. A criminal enterprise and a criminal occupation. I don't want to get involved in it. But our president, he wants to make sure that I get insured. I'm doing everything I can to stay out of the way. I'm trying to avoid it. All right, now going on, here's another recent report out of New Jersey. Illegal immigrants straining the health care system, and new figures hint at the cost of treating the state's migrant population. The New Jersey Hospital Association now estimates that the state's 81 hospitals are going to spend between $275 and $300 million treating uninsured illegal immigrants this year. Now, that's less than 2% of the $14 billion hospitals spend to treat patients. But for many hospitals already struggling financially, officials say it's another factor pushing them deeper into the red. And it hits some facilities harder than others, particularly those in urban areas. Now, we've been watching this issue for 4 or 5 years now, and it's a sleeping giant, said Hospital Association spokesman Ron Kajowski, and it's really starting to have a big impact now. For more information on the impact of illegal aliens on the nation's medical system, you should see the links at the end of this section. You know, we might not have needed this health care reform if we hadn't had all of these illegal aliens. But now the illegal aliens were the catalyst for which the president said, see the problem that we've got, and we've got to solve it. So we need national health care insurance. And so now you've passed the straw that broke the camel's back. Not that health care was the straw that broke the camel's back. Even without it, we were going down. But not as fast. Might have stretched it out 5 or 10 more years. Not now. Now, as noted by Mary Engel in a recent LA Times article, Immigrants' Health Assessed in a RAND Study, research on successive generations shows adolescents in Asian families surpass Latinos in adopting healthful lifestyles. With each new generation in the United States, adolescents from Asian immigrant families improved their health habits, while their Latino counterparts either showed no improvement or developed worse habits. That's according to a RAND Corporation study released Tuesday. Now, the study, which looked at diet, exercise, television viewing, and other practices among at least three generations of youths aged 12 to 17, could help explain rising rates of obesity and diabetes among Latinos. Upon arrival in the United States, Asian and Latino immigrants started out drinking fewer sodas and eating more fruits and vegetables than whites. That's according to a study which was based on a survey of nearly 6,000 adolescents in 2001. After two generations, the Asian youths caught up with or surpassed whites in other measures, including more hours exercising and fewer hours watching television. Meanwhile, similar Latino adolescents had poorer diets than their Asian and white peers, and they were less likely to use seat belts, bicycle helmets, or sunscreen, according to the study, which was published on the online edition of the American Journal of Public Health. Previous research has suggested that Latino immigrants overall tend to enjoy relatively good health despite their low incomes. That's a phenomenon known as the Latino paradox. But these findings suggest that the effect could diminish with each new generation. Now, if the trend that we're seeing here, at least for Latino teens, is true, then the case that Latinos are doing better than expected is probably not going to hold out over generations. At least that's what we see from the study's lead author. Now, the sheer numbers of illegal aliens are overwhelming various public services, as noted in the Arizona Republic, as a tough fight ahead against illegal immigration. Prosecutors are overwhelmed by immigration court cases. There were nearly 580,000 arrests of illegal immigrants in Arizona last year, and less than 170,000 spaces available to hold the detainees at any given time. Even officials charged with reducing illegal immigration and border crimes have increasingly turned against efforts to secure the border. That is according to speakers of the Border Management Summit organized by the Institute for Defense and Government Advancement. The spokesman said, "We're now doing more public corruption cases than ever before," said Paul Charlton. He was the U.S. Attorney for the District of Arizona. "More bribes are being accepted, or at least more people are getting caught taking bribes," he said. Hundreds of assaults on Border Patrol agents also have been reported, Carlton said. And as noted in March 2005, an article by William Jeunesse, I guess it is, of Fox News, the border states grapple with these alien criminals. Many police officials in states along the U.S.-Mexican border say that they're fed up with the number of illegal aliens populating American prisons, prisons, rather, many of them incarcerated for violent crimes such as murder, rape, and robbery. Almost one in six inmates in Arizona, for example, is a Mexican citizen. It is a phenomenon that law enforcement recognizes as a major problem, said one undercover detective who specializes in street gangs and goes by the name of Paco. We have to put drug users and violators in there, babysit them, and now we have to babysit illegal aliens, said Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, whose jails are 4,500 inmates over capacity. Most Mexicans cross the border looking for work, but competition is fierce for jobs requiring uneducated, unskilled labor. Many illegal immigrants find themselves far from realizing their dreams. We come over here to find a better life, said inmate Tony Perez, a convicted drug dealer. Not all of us are here to sell drugs or to do bad things, despite a few that do. But then again, doesn't everybody else from every other country? Arpaio's Phoenix jails house 1,200 criminal aliens, including Perez, who by law should have been deported. But because of federal bureaucracy and an overburdened system, only the most dangerous felons are actually sent home. Even when deportation is ordered, about 60% of the orders are ignored. Christian Hiagra, who is serving time for assault, has fathered an illegitimate child born in Arizona, and he said he hopes he will be allowed to stay with his child, an American citizen, once he gets out of jail. Now, hang on here a second. Here's a guy who's an illegal alien. He comes over here, fathers an illegal child, an illegitimate child. He goes out and commits crime, gets locked up in prison, and now when he's released from prison, he has an anchor baby. Now all he has to do is apply for a green card, and it'll be granted to him. Isn't that special? And then you get to pay for that. Now, these kinds of laws over here should be, you know, they're insane to start with, and they should be repealed, but they're not, and they're not going to be. And you know it as well as I do. Now, has any of that struck you at this moment in time, or by this moment in time, as being something that would motivate you to want to do something different? Well, one time many years ago, when I got my belly full of it, I said, you know, I'm going to quit doing this. I felt like a lunatic who's banging his head against a brick wall. And I keep saying to myself, you know, when I stop banging my head on the wall, it feels so much better. Then I'd go back to banging my head on the wall, and then I'd stop and reflect on what I was doing, and then I would say, you know, it feels so much better when I quit banging my head on the wall. And then finally one day I said, you know, I'm going to quit this head banging project, and I'm going to go do something different. And at the time, I was asked, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. But I do know what I'm not going to do. And I'm not going to support any more of this insanity. I'm quitting. Now, what we're seeing here is insane. What we're reading here is insane. It's preposterous. You won't find any other government in the world behaving like this. I can't even think of any other government in the history of the world that has ever behaved this insanely toward an invasion coming into their country. Most countries would react by killing people. They would set up the army down there and they would shoot these people on sight, an invasion force like this. If we had an invasion force of locusts coming in here like this, we'd seek to do something about it, like killing them off, turning them back, feeding them somewhere else, poisoning them. No, in this country, we encourage it. We are working hand in glove with the Mexican government. The only thing I've seen that's in opposition to this avalanche of invasion here is this new law in Arizona. They said, hey, we're going to start rounding these people up and sending them back. Here in my county, this is Ozark County, Missouri, 11 illegal aliens were caught in a group by our local sheriff here. And so they took them in, they locked them up, and then they called the immigration service and said, hey, we got 11 guys here. Come get them. Send them back to Mexico or wherever they're from. And the INS said, no, we're not going to come and get 11. We won't come there unless there's 100. That was reported in the Ozark County Times. If you've got 100, we'll come get them. But if you've got less than 100, we're not. So the sheriff turned them loose. He said, I don't have any reason to hold them here in the county. They're in violation of federal law. I arrested them and I jailed them and called the federal authorities. And they said, well, just because they're in violation of federal law doesn't mean that we're going to do anything about it. We're not going to prosecute them. We're not going to deport them. So the sheriff turned them loose. I don't know where they went, but they're not in jail. Now, entering the country illegally in Mexico would get you put in jail for 10 years. Entering the country illegally in this country gets you rewarded with free hospital service, an anchor baby, and free public education. In addition to employment, if you so desire. Now, this guy that I just read this story about, where he says, Christian Hiegra, who's serving time for assault, has fathered an illegitimate child. He's born in Arizona. He hopes that he will be allowed to stay with his child here in America, an American citizen, once he gets out of jail. Once he gets his green card, he can go down and sign up for welfare. This guy, Christian Hiegra, came to America because he was making $5 a day in Mexico, $150 a month. In this country, he can retire on welfare. He'll make 5 times, maybe 10 times more money on welfare doing absolutely nothing as he's going to make in Mexico working every day. You talk about a guy that's hit the jackpot. Talk about a guy that hit the lottery. Can you see why these people are attracted to come to the United States? This is a win-win, win-win, win-win circumstance for them. They can't lose. So you throw them out a couple of times. Hell, pretty soon they're going to give them all amnesty. That's what we've done for the last 5 times that this has come up. Just give them amnesty and let them. Well, that encourages, you know, if you got, you know, in 1986, I think when they did this the last time, they let 3 million in. Now you're up to 12 million. Hell, you know, if we play our cards right, we'll get 36 million to let in for amnesty the next time around. If you can go from 3 to 12, can't you go from 12 to 36? Hell, maybe even 48. Now, this is a dead letter issue. You can't support the 12 million you got here. You sure as hell ain't going to be able to sort 24 or 36 million, which is what's on everybody's gun sights now. Now, did you note the attitudes expressed by the illegal alien criminals? As reported in the Patriot, that's the news, Patriot News, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Mayor Louis J. Barletta recently said, illegal immigrants have brought gangs, drugs, graffiti, and murders to this city. They're draining the police and fire resources and taking services away from legal residents. People used to love the quiet life in Hazleton, which averaged one murder every 7 years. But suddenly the population swelled from 23,000 to 31,000, and residents were shocked by blighted homes, overcrowded apartments, gang life, drug use, violence, and he said he attributed these to illegal aliens, and all were Latino, he said. The playground where Barletta played as a kid became home to graffiti, he said. A 14-year-old undocumented Latino boy was arrested for shooting a gun in the park while children played. Another illegal immigrant shot a resident on a crowded sidewalk near a pizzeria on a Friday night. A 16-year-old was beaten nearly to death by people with baseball bats. "I was losing my city," he said, "and it was happening right before my eyes. Police and fire personnel, hospitals and schools were having to devote much of their time and energy to help illegal immigrants." He reportedly referred to Hazleton's residents as terrified. Rates of HIV and tuberculosis rose. He said he decided to change that instead of waiting for the federal government to fix the illegal immigration problem. He said enough is enough. To see the results, go to the city's crackdown on illegals already being felt. So in communities, you know, like this town of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and the state of Arizona and others have said, well, I guess we got to take things into our own hands. We got to take matters in our own hands. We're going to have to go do something about this. Sheriff DeMarco of Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, noted in the article, "Criminal Alien Program Launched, $200 a day. That's the estimated daily cost to house one criminal in the county jail, according to Suffolk County Sheriff Vincent DeMarco, noting that approximately 10% of the current jail population consists of illegal immigrants. DeMarco is looking at new ways to ease the financial burden that's hitting Suffolk taxpayers, who have been footing the bill for county prisoners who are here illegally. We're overcrowded. We have to build a new jail. But part of the problem is that we have so many illegal immigrants here," DeMarco said last week. "They're taking up jail space, and it's crushing us." In July 2006 article, "Illegal Immigrants Filling Jails," the Sheriff's Department, "Officials around the state predict things will worsen." In the Carolina Journal, print by Karen Welch, it identifies as a reality a number of the collateral damages that this report has highlighted due to the massive influx of illegal aliens. In Raleigh, North Carolina, county jails throughout North Carolina are stressed to the limit with illegal immigrants, the law enforcement officials say. With the lack of immigration control to deal with the estimated 460,000 illegal immigrants residing in the state, it probably won't be getting any better anytime soon. Kevin Jaszabski, prison captain for the Lee County Sheriff's Department, said that the number of Hispanics clogging the county system is getting larger every day. "We do have a problem, and it's going to keep on growing," he said. "It doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon." Randy Jones, the director of public information for the Alamance County Sheriff's Department, said that about 40% of the inmates in the county's jails are Hispanics, and most of those have illegally entered the country. "It's draining the system. And you're looking at a disaster," he said. "Some of the public is just coming to grips with illegal immigrants. Right now, there's not a way to solve the problem until the government solves the problem. The issue needs to be addressed on both the federal and state level. And it's not racial discrimination, as some have feared, but cultural differences that are putting most of the illegal immigrants behind bars. These arrests are legitimate," Jones said, they arise mostly from drug trafficking or driving under the influence of alcohol. DUI is the number one killer of Hispanic males in the state," he said. "There are cultural differences. They drink and drive. It's culturally accepted for them to do that. When we bring them in, they're usually double the legal limit by law enforcement officers, have been called racist, and even been accused of singling out Hispanics. Now the statistics are showing that we're probably right from the onset, law enforcement-wise. Illegal drug use and smuggling is also a problem among these illegals living in North Carolina." Sheriff Steve Biswell of Johnson County addressed this topic during an issues forum on illegal immigration at the North Carolina Leadership Conference, 80% to 85% of drug trafficking in this jurisdiction is committed by Hispanics, he said. And a growing wave of gang-related violence, including murders and armed robberies, is also cropping up in rural counties. In an ABC News report, Sheriff Jimmy Thornton said Sampson County is trying to deal with a surge of Hispanic gangs. They think they can set up their gangs in these rural areas and really get by with more. He said they don't think that the small town departments have the sophistication and the ability or the personnel to handle what they're coming in here with. Alamance County needs to implement a gang intervention unit because of the growth of Hispanic gangs, Jones said. And another problem plaguing jails throughout the state are repeat offenders who are virtually given a get-out-of-jail-free card when they're deported. It doesn't matter whether they're apprehended for serious or violent crimes. U.S. officials drop the charges and send them back to their own country. It's usually only a matter of days before they cross the border back into the United States, again, under a different name and different identification. There was a story came up here, and I think it was coming out of the Southwest. They were putting 300 illegal aliens on a plane times 151 planes. They deported 45,300 illegal aliens. And the cost of that, as I recall now, I think it was $300 each or something like that, times 300. $13,590,000. That's just the transportation one way, $300. And they wanted to take them deep into Mexico, so they took them down to Mexico City. And what they found out was, when you turn these people loose at the border, you take them down and you turn them loose with a bus. And they walk across the border into Juarez, and they come back the next day or two. When you take them down to Mexico City, it takes them 2 weeks to get back. Now, I don't know what it costs to bus them down to Juarez, but it's something less than $300. So, it's a total failure. The idea, you know, behind this is that these illegals, when they come into the country, they get these benefits. Now, let's try it this way. Let's suppose that the illegal, when he comes into the country, we're going to deport him, and we're not going to pay his plane fare back to Mexico City. We're not going to recognize his anchor baby. We're not going to let him into the hospital so he can die on the sidewalk. And we're not going to let his kid into the public school. And anybody who hires you in this country, we will lock up for 10 years. You can eliminate the illegal problem, boys and girls. I'm just telling you that there wasn't a problem in 1930 when we addressed it with President Hoover. There wasn't a problem in 1946 when we addressed it, and there wasn't a problem in 1954. We just said, that's it, ain't coming back. Now, since 1964, we've opened our borders, and we've offered all these neat benefits. These people can't lose. That's what's attracting them back here. And I don't blame them. Hell, I'd come back too. In fact, I'm thinking about that. If I were to expatriate my citizenship, go to Mexico, and then come across the border illegally, I could get these services free. Put an anchor baby in here, sign up for welfare, and live my life happily ever after at your expense. All right, now if that's what you want to subsidize and pay for, well, get after it, because you're already a raving success. That's the way the deal's coming down. It's the way it's being paid. You're paying for it. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. And they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about illegal immigration, and one of the highlights of this, or one of the interesting sidelights, in California, there are about 250,000 agricultural jobs in the state. And those are covered by a union. There was a fellow there by the name of Cesar Chavez, organized the grape union called the United Farm Workers. And they organized the grape pickers and grape workers there back in the, well, I think it was about the 60s or 70s. Well, today there's 1,250,000 farm workers for those 250,000 jobs. Now, that's 5 workers for every job. As a result of that, it is bidding the prices of wages down. More and more farmers are taking these guys under the table, paying them $2 or $3 an hour instead of minimum wage. And in the process, they're saving a few bucks for themselves, but they're subsidizing the entire program, which is indeed costing them in the long run, and all of us, costing all of us in the long run, about $100 billion a year in funds that are being shipped overseas, and then another $100 billion a year in direct costs that we have to make up. So we Americans, our economy is losing $200 billion a year. That's from the direct costs. That doesn't include the costs of educating these children or other peripheral costs such as we're discussing here, which is the crime problem. Now, jails are very expensive. And as we progress along here, we're going to see some statistics and some numbers as to how many of these people are locked up in jail. Now, you'll notice it's 10%, one guy says. In some cases, it's 25%. Well, in America today, we have approximately 2.1 million people incarcerated. 2.1 million. In our prisons, about 25% of those prisoners are illegal aliens. They're not just in there because they came across the border or they overstayed their visa. They're in there for drugs, murder, rape, robbery, violence of some kind. They broke some laws and never prosecuted and convicted. In Los Angeles County, just one category of crime, homicide. 87% of the warrants issued are for illegal aliens in Los Angeles County. That doesn't mean that around the nation 87% of the crime is being committed by Latinos, but it tells you very plainly that 25% is. That's the national statistical average, and 25% of the people that are locked up are Latinos. They're not all illegal aliens, but the bulk of them are. Now, when we translate that into dollars, the minimum cost of locking somebody up in prison is $35,000 a year. $35,000. Now, you take $35,000 a year, listen, boys and girls, those people in Mexico are working for $5 a day. Times, let's just give them 365, that'd be less than $2,000 a year. For the amount of money that it costs to lock one of those guys up here in the United States, if you'd give that guy $2,000 a year, send him back to Mexico and say, if you'll stay there, we will just permanently pay you $2,000 for the rest of your life, we would be money ahead. We Americans, if we could get those illegal aliens to go back home and pay them the $2,000 that it's costing us in taxes, we could support those people in their own country to a standard of living that they would normally enjoy if they could find employment there. See, their problem is the wage is $5 a day, but there aren't any jobs. If they had a job for $5 a day, they'd probably stay there. Now, because they can't find a job and can't stay there, they come to the United States where they get paid five times as much working under the table for chicken feed. And then if they really do well and they can put an anchor baby down, or they can get a job in construction someplace and make $10, $15, $20 an hour, boy, they've hit the jackpot on top of the jackpot on top of the jackpot. It's like hitting the Powerball lottery for those people. Now, again, you know, if you're just looking for a solution to the problem, I outlined it for you. What you have to do is to take the incentives away. You know, if you're illegal and you're pregnant, you die in the gutter. After a few of those women die in the gutter in childbirth, they won't come here anymore. As long as you're going to put them in the hospital and give them free medical care, they're going to come here. So, you know, you've got to decide what you want to do. Now, it isn't kind, it isn't gentle, but that's the way life is. Now, you take a pregnant woman in America, take her down to Mexico, and let's see if the Mexican government will deliver your baby for you free, lady. Talk about kind and gentle now, and see what happens to you. I think you're going to be amazed. I think you're going to be surprised. And then on top of that, you'll probably end up in the penitentiary. Now, the problem is now becoming more common across the entire country as illegal aliens move away from traditional illegal immigrant enclaves and settle in mass in newer areas. In addition to the costs for regular traffic accidents, as detailed in the traffic accident section, a notable amount of medical and emergency service costs are incurred from the horrific accidents that occur in the transporting of illegal aliens. As an example, you see the van stuffed full of immigrants takes deadly role, where one was killed and 20 were injured, and 9 suspected illegal immigrants killed in a Yuma crash, where out of another 21 passengers stuffed into the Suburban, 9 were killed. Many of the injured go to local hospitals, sometimes for extended periods of time, where the costs are also picked up by American taxpayers and those paying for medical insurance. Such accidents with no medical insurance coverage are disastrous for small communities that have to absorb the cost of the highway carnage. So don't think that these are just Southwest border area incidents. Here's one in the Chicago area. One person dead in a pickup crash carrying 14 undocumented immigrants, and another in the Denver area, driver in crash held on smuggling counts. Where in this one, there were only 11 in the van with 4 dying. By the way, the Denver accident, the illegal alien driver had been previously deported twice. You probably paid for $300 to have him flown down to Mexico City, where they bury him deep in the country. Took him 2 weeks to get back. He comes back across the border. Then why does he do that? Well, why shouldn't he do that? He makes 5 times more money. Now, this guy is a coyote. He's smuggling these people in. He's not working, you know, for $5 or $7 an hour. This guy isn't working for minimum wage. This guy's probably making $100,000, $200,000 a year smuggling these people into the country, moving them around. These people that are smuggling drugs into the country, you know, they're making some pretty big bucks too. So there's big money to be made in the American market, which is subsidized by our federal government and our state governments, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, wanting to spend $400 million a year buying insurance for illegal alien children. The problem is, you make these neat benefits for these people, and that's a magnet that attracts more. If you want to bring in more coons and possums, you feed them better. They will come up to your house anyway, but if you put feed out there for them, you can attract many more of them from further away. That's just the way life is. And people aren't dumber than animals. They're not dumber than coons and possums, for crying out loud. You know, these people can figure out where the benefits lie. That's why anchor babies are important here in this country. That's why, you know, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is in, you know, you got to know how to get there. That's a pretty odd place. And you got 100 of these aliens having babies in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Huh? I mean, those people are coming in here and planting anchor babies. There's 100,000 of them down in Los Angeles. 100,000 anchor babies in Los Angeles. That brings in 100,000 fathers of those 100,000, and then, you know, you got children that come in, and then all those children have to go to public schools. That's why California's bankrupt. I showed you that a little earlier here, a couple programs back. I said, what you're paying for those 3 million illegal aliens in California would wipe out your budget deficit of $19 billion. Just eliminate that, and that'll eliminate your budget deficit. Now, it isn't just that the highways over here are bankrupting the country. It's just another part of the problem. Remember that all of these people are using the infrastructure. The highways are a part of the infrastructure. So you got a van here, and it's got 10 people in it. It could have 2 people in it. They're illegal. They have an accident. Well, then the highway patrol has to come out and investigate the accident, and then they got to take the injured people to the hospital, and that's got to all be paid for. Now, when they discover these people are illegal and one of them was drunk driving, they're going to prosecute him and they're going to jail him. That costs $35,000 a year to lock that guy up in jail. And you just saw this one county jail over here, they're spending $90 a day to keep a prisoner here in the county jail. That's all paid for with your property taxes. You know, crime is an expensive, it's an expensive product to be buying anyway. I've covered that on the law enforcement growth industry more than once. But to be spending the money on people over here that aren't even citizens, don't even belong here. That's really telling you something. Talk about an invasion of the Genghis Khan type. The emergency responder and medical costs on the local community for such accidents are enormous. And how many events like these are happening nationally? Well, nobody really knows because nobody tracks it. But it's growing with the illegal alien population. And as noted earlier in this section, immigrants, legal and illegal, are coming to this country in record numbers. And obviously, they impact the population. Now the question is, well, how much? Well, Dr. Stephen Camarota, Director of Research for the Center for Immigration Studies, wrote in a January 2001 paper, he said, immigration has become the determinant factor in population growth. The 11.2 million immigrants who indicated that they arrived between 1990 and 2000, plus the 6.4 million children born to immigrants in the United States during the 1990s, are equal to almost 70% of the U.S. population growth over the last 10 years. So, 70% of the population increase in the country is coming from immigrants. And the immigrants wouldn't come here unless you paid them. You have to pay these people to come here. And you're paying them, and by God, they're coming. That's the way it is. So, as long as you want to pay for it, they're going to keep coming. Now, these big corporations, you know, like Tyson Foods and so on, they want these immigrants to come in here because that gives them a ready supply of labor to do their work at record bargain basement prices. It's already against the law for these companies to hire these people. We've got laws on the books. The concept that you need immigration reform, no, these guys aren't talking immigration reform. What they really want is immigration amnesty. They want to legalize all of them that are here already. See, immigration laws are already on the books. It's already against the law to do that. If you would take away the incentives, well, then they wouldn't come. I mean, they're not going to come up here if it's going to cost them money or if they can't make any money here. Now, the other day there was a big raid. I think they picked up about, there might have been 50 or 100 illegal aliens working in a Swift meatpacking plant, and I believe it was over in Iowa. Every once in a while, you'll see one of those raids come down. That's what we call a show trial. It's for the purposes of showing you that our federal government is on top of it, and by God, we're out here working for the taxpayers of America. It's just that they're overwhelming. We just don't know what to do. Well, let me ask you this, folks. If 20 million unarmed Mexicans can come across the border and invade your country and get away with it, and you can't stop them, and you can't round them up, what in the hell are you going to do when the Chinese field a million-man army down there and come across? You can't stop 20 million unarmed. What are you going to do with a million that are armed? The idea that these people can come into the United States and there's nothing we can do about it is preposterous poppycock. It's that the government doesn't want to do anything about it. They're working for corporate America, and corporate America needs that labor cheap in order for them to bulge their pockets. That's what the story is all about. Before those illegal aliens came here, we had plenty of people working in those meatpacking plants that were legal, that were Americans, and that were getting paid. They weren't getting paid the slave labor that they're paying these new immigrants coming in here or the undocumented. And that's why they want to keep that gravy train rolling. And I don't blame them. I can understand that. But the overall end of it is that we're all on the same ship. And when this ship sinks, we're all going to get wet. And that includes Captain Smith and the crew, as well as the steerage passengers down in the bottom of the boat. Everybody gets wet when the ship sinks. And when the great ship America sinks, we're all going to get wet. And that includes all of you executives and all of you fat cats that are working for the Wall Street banks and all of you guys that are the fat cats that are working at the Swift meatpacking plant. It's in everybody's best interest to wake up and smell the coffee here. It ain't going to happen, and we're all going to get wet. But at least some of us are going to know here's why you got your feet wet. Now, according to the Census Bureau figures, more than two-thirds of the current and future population growth is the result of immigration and legal immigration, and illegal, rather, immigration is by far the biggest component of immigration, with the trend accelerating in the last few decades. So, the trend of this illegal immigration isn't leveling off, isn't going down, isn't remaining the same, it is accelerating. It's growing, and it's growing geometrically. And every day that the fat cats in Washington stall this off is just one day closer to the inevitable breakdown of the society, the collapse of the economy. That's what they're shooting for. So whether it's next month or next year, I don't know. But the inevitable end of this is that it's going to come to an end. Watch this. In 1960, the population of the United States was 90% white and 10% all others. Today, it's 67% white and 33% all others. In 2050, it's going to be 50% white and 50% all others. You know, even the Jews are smart enough to figure the political consequences of those kinds of demographics. Americans aren't. They haven't got a clue as to how the national elections are going to turn out when the population is 50-50. And boys and girls, it doesn't have to get to 50-50 in order to make those political changes. In fact, with just one-third, they're able to affect the political outcome of the nation. That's why I said we've already gone past the tipping point. You don't need to be concerned about the demographics in 2050. But 40 years from now, you're going to have... It won't take 40 years with the way they're coming into the country now like a plague of locusts. But even if we just went on at today's rate in 2050, America isn't going to be the same again. And it surely isn't going to be the same for the white population. And you want to remember the guy that's doing this to you? It's the guy that told you that the stranger within your gates shall rise up high above you and bring you down very low. That's why I keep telling you that the creator of the universe, God Almighty Himself, has His fingerprints all over this crime. All over it. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow with more on the immigration or the illegal immigration problem. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember that the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org.